Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to the Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals and without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Podcast Manager Show. I'm really excited for this episode because I'm going to be walking you through the first 7 clients that I landed and the pros and the cons of each of those clients, how I landed them, what I liked about them, how long it lasted, just a lot of great details about these first 7 clients so that you can take away what it might look like for you, what you can learn from my mistakes, because, oh gosh, Lord knows there were mistakes made. So I'm excited to kind of walk you through some of these details in this episode. But before we got started, I wanted to invite you and remind you that I am having a live training tomorrow, Wednesday, February 24th, if you're listening to this on the day that it releases. I am having a live training on February 24th at 12 p.m. noon Eastern. And we're going to be going over how you can become a profitable podcast manager without working more than 20 hours a week. So to sign up for that live training, which I would love to have you there, you can go to laurenwrighton.com/live, and we'll have that link in our show notes. So if you missed it, if you're listening to this later and you missed it and you're interested in watching it, then shoot us an email at hello@laurenwrighton.com and we can get that over to you. So I'm so excited to do that tomorrow, and I'm excited to see a lot of you guys there. And this episode is really going to coincide with some of the mistakes that I'm going to share in the training tomorrow. In the training, I'm going to share 3 mistakes that I see a lot of people making that is the reason they aren't becoming profitable podcast managers. And of course, I've made many, many of those mistakes. And you're going to see some of those reflected in these 7 clients that I'm sharing with you in this episode. So let's get into it. All right. So to take you back to my very first client, we had to transform ourselves into spring of 2017. So spring of 2017, I got to give you some background information. My first daughter was about a year old, and my work situation up to then was I had been working full time until I had my daughter in April of 2016. And I knew that I didn't want to go back full time. So I was planning on being a part time fitness instructor because I could work it around being home with her. I thought, you know, the fitness industry was really booming. So I was like, I could maybe do some stuff online, build up a brand. I thought really the sky was the limit in the fitness industry, and I really was passionate about it. So that was my plan work-wise, was work part-time in fitness, build something, and see where it goes. So I had been doing that over the past year, was working part-time in fitness. I worked at a couple different gyms. But what I was realizing was it wasn't a good fit for me. You know, I didn't like some things about it, and the fitness industry was changing. So it was becoming more about these boutique fitness places, and I just wasn't fitting in there anymore. And this was a really hard lesson for me to learn, was that, wow, this dream and this passion of mine was starting to fade. And that was something that I was going through. But I was also like, hey, I still need to make some money. I needed to do that for my family. So I was thinking of other ideas and other ways that I could do that while still being home with my daughter. Also, in late 2016, my friend and I started our podcast called Fit Friends Happy Hour. It still exists. My friend leads it. She's a dietitian. So we started that in November of 2016. So in spring of 2017, we'd been doing that for a handful of months. And I realized, you know what? I'm going to try to leverage these podcasting skills that I've developed over the past 6 months. I'm going to try to leverage these skills into a business. And I had taught myself how to edit. I had launched our podcast through YouTube videos and all that. So I was the behind the scenes person on Fit Friends Happy Hour. And so I thought, you know what? I think I can do this. So I went on Upwork, which I honestly think it was Elance back then. But I went on to Upwork, if you've heard of that. It's like a job board site. And I found a podcasting client. And gosh, it was so much work. I'm pretty sure that I started looking for this in January. And it wasn't until like April that I got a client. And I was really excited because I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, I could actually do this. But I was getting paid $30 an hour, or sorry, not $30 an hour, $30 an episode. And it was taking me 5 hours to do her interview episodes. And just beyond that, part of me was so excited because she'd send me like 5 episodes. And I'm like, oh, cool. If I can just crank these out, like maybe I can make some real money, you know? But what I soon realized was that every episode was different. She would record in her closet. She would record here. She would record there. I didn't know enough to coach her. I didn't know enough to make the editing easier for me. And what one of the like specific issues I was always running into her with her was that she had 2 tracks and they were always echoing each other. So like if someone made a mistake, you could hear it on the other end. And it was so messy, so messy. And I didn't know how to do it. And I also wasn't in any sort of podcasting community. I'm sure they existed, but I just didn't know enough at that point to get help. And so I remember her sending me 5 episodes in maybe May. I looked at the time it was taking me. It was taking me 5 hours. So I was like, okay, 25 hours of work at $150. Like, this is not worth it. So at that point, also in May of 2017, I got pregnant with my 2nd daughter. And I just saw, you know, flash forward to those months of being late pregnancy and being exhausted. And I was like, this isn't going to work. I'm going to have to figure something else out. So I worked with her for maybe 2 or 3 months. And I was like, I broke it off with her because in addition to, I think she might have been paying me like $40 an episode, but then Upwork takes a cut. So there's that, you know, it's just working on Upwork. If you find someone, it could be good and you could maybe take it off the platform, but it's just unfortunate because they take a cut. And it makes sense because they have to make money too. They're a business. So it is what it is, right? But with that relationship, I didn't know any tricks to speed up the process. I couldn't coach her because I didn't know enough and I couldn't raise my prices. I would have had to like, you know, quadruple 10x my prices for it to make sense. And that, you know, there was no way, I didn't have any leverage on doing that. And I did get a testimonial from her. So that was a plus, was I got a testimonial from her. But at that point, I really thought no one's ever going to pay a podcast editor enough for this to make sense. And I kind of closed the door on it. And I do go into a little more detail about this story in my training, but then it was late 2017 and my friend and I were still doing our podcast. I still thought maybe her and I's podcast, maybe it would go somewhere. I had a lot of hope for like something's going to work out. Something's going to work out because I know for sure I'm not giving up. I'm making this happen. Maybe I'm not going to be a podcast editor, but something's going to happen because I have to make it happen. I was committed to being a stay-at-home mom. I was not going to work full-time. I was going to make something happen. So it was in September of 2017, and I went to a wedding. I was pregnant, very pregnant with my 2nd daughter, and my husband and I were alone at the wedding. And he sees this girl, and she has 2 really young kids. And he's like, oh my gosh, let's go talk to her because she has 2 young kids, and we're about to have another baby. And we talked to her, and she is Michaela Quinn. And if you don't know who Michaela Quinn is, she teaches moms how to become freelancers. And I honestly don't remember the conversation that I had with her, but I think I just like friended her on Facebook or something. And the weeks after that, I realized what she taught and was like, oh my gosh, I tried this and it didn't work. Like I just tried this months ago and it didn't work. But the way she was teaching it was a lot different than the way I had went about it. And so it was like my ears perked up and I eventually joined her program in late January or maybe February of 2018. And I got a lot of amazing tips and skills from her. And then it was also through her that I landed a VA client. And then I landed my 2nd VA client in May of 2018. And this person, her name was Sharon, and she was really my first, I have so many first clients because it was like, well, I was my first client with Fit Friends Happy Hour. And then I had this 2nd Upwork client. And then I had this 3rd first client who is Sharon. I started as her VA in May and or maybe April. And then in June, she said, hey, I'm going to launch a podcast. And I've heard that you know some stuff about this because she had been networking with Michaela and Michaela knew I had a show. And so it was like it just kind of that's the great thing about networking is kind of word gets around. So she's like, I know that you have a little bit of experience with podcasts. Do you think you could help me with some stuff? And I was like, oh, definitely, for sure. Let's see where this goes. So she launched her show on her own. I never edited for her. I was always doing like graphics and the show notes and just all the other associated tasks because I helped her a lot with her setting up opt-ins and stuff as her VA. But landing her as a quote unquote podcast client, I was like, okay, so this is something that people need. And people like her are starting podcasts now. And it just started getting my wheels turning like, okay, how can I do this? What would this look like? And I learned a lot of stuff from having her as a client. And I thought maybe I can leverage this experience to work with other people. So it was then, that was around May and June. And then in August, Michaela decided that she was going to launch her podcast and I was the person she knew. So she came to me, which was just really like being in the right place at the right time. And she asked me, hey, are you doing this? Are you going to be a podcast VA or what? I'm not really sure what I was calling myself at that point because podcast management wasn't really a thing, you know, like it was, but it didn't have a name and it didn't have a name yet. So in August of 2018, I helped her launch her podcast and then I was doing editing and I think uploading and she was doing her show notes. And then, you know, the next month she thought, nope, you do the show notes. And then the next month I was doing social media graphics. And then now I'm still working with her and I book her guests. So I do the research and all of that about booking her guests. I write her interview questions. I write out her intro that she speaks in the beginning of the podcast. And gosh, I could probably have an entire episode about all of the twists and turns her and I's relationship has taken. It was around that time that Michaela launched her podcast that I committed to, this is a real opportunity. If I pair editing with something else, I can create a package that makes sense. I still didn't believe that I could make enough money just being an editor, which is now my mind is different on that topic. But I thought, if I can pair editing with these miscellaneous VA tasks and I can be a podcast manager, then I'm bringing something really valuable to the table. And that was when I made that realization. And I saw that podcasting was booming and it's literally been booming since 2018. And I saw, you know what, this is an actual opportunity. And that's when I decided to niche down, was around August of 2018. So then I changed. I was not a VA anymore. I was a podcast manager and I was only looking for podcast clients. And I was marketing myself as a podcast manager for health and business coaches, which is a niche, but a very broad niche, very broad. And I'm going to kind of go into that. As you see the clients that I landed, they all considered themselves health and business coaches. So I think that's a takeaway here is when you're thinking about who you're serving, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a small group, but it's important that you do have some idea of who you're working with, who you want to work with, so you can attract that person and not attract other people. So we're in fall of 2018 at this point, and I'm niched down and I'm, you know, my proposals, everything is podcast now. And I landed a new client. And I'm pretty sure that her OBM found me in a Facebook group and in one of the virtual assistant Facebook groups. So I'm pretty sure that's how she found me. And I launched her podcast and her episodes were very clean. She was a really great speaker. She was a speaker. And so her podcasts were really great. You know, not a lot of misspeaks, not a lot of her quality was really great, which thank the Lord that that was the case because I was editing and uploading for her. And so not show notes, not social media graphics. It was very clean. It was like she sent me the episode, I edited it. And we also used the Trello board system that I have, but I was charging her $275, which, oh, very painful for me to think about now. Very painful. Yikes is what I think about that price at this point. But, you know, just thinking back and, you know, not shaming myself, obviously, no shame, but I was really testing what was possible. You know, like I was fighting through a lot of limiting beliefs that people were never going to pay me enough. So I was really pushing through those limiting beliefs of someone is only going to pay me $275 to do this. And man, I was so wrong. You know, I was so wrong. But she was one of the people that, thank goodness that her episodes were pretty clean and I could get through them quicker than the average person, because it was 275 was what I was getting. So it was a very easy client relationship. She always had like 4 episodes ready for me to go. She was always on time. I could only get a hold of her like maybe once or twice a week. So because she was very streamlined with her business, she had a lot going on. So honestly, it was really easy, and I stuck with her for a while. I'm going to get into this because we're really going to cover like my 2018. At that point, I was working with Sharon, that first client. I was working with Michaela. I was working with this health coach. She was a health coach. And then also in fall of 2018, I landed another client, and her name was Sherry. She was a business coach, basically, and she interviewed women that had small businesses in Minnesota. So her podcast was very specific, and it was cool for that reason. She interviewed like different people that had products that they sold, and all females. And so then Sherry was honestly like the dream launch client because she had a budget, which is essential. She had a budget, but she didn't have anyone else on her team. It was just her with a message wanting to elevate these female small business owners in Minnesota. And it was very simple. And this is one of the points that I want you to think about, is that sometimes we think, you know, if our goal is a $2,000 package, when you're working with those people that are going to say yes to a $2,000 package, you're also working on a team. Like 100%, you're going to work on a team if you have a $2,000 package, as in you are part of their team. You might not have a team, but you're on a team with your client, with other people. So you're talking to those other people. You're just more involved. There's more communication versus whenever, you know, I believe Sherry was paying me around $500, maybe $600 a month to produce her podcast. And it was just her and I, you know, there was not a lot to talk about. It was like, she got me the stuff, you know, I had to maybe sometimes remind her to get me episodes, but I was editing and producing and scheduling and show notes and graphics. And I don't remember if I scheduled her graphics or not, but there's something beautiful in the simplicity of that. And so I just want you to think about that on when you're trying to hit your monthly income goals. There's room for big, robust packages where you're going to be working, you know, you're going to be more embedded in a team, which I find to be really rewarding, to be really fun. But you can also have clients that their packages are of a lower dollar amount, but it's really an easy relationship. So just think about that as we go along. So at this point, fall of 2018, I end up landing 2 more clients. So I'll recap so you can kind of see where my business was at the end of the year. But then I ended up landing a client named Nicole. And she's got a big following. And I knew her before I became in contact with her. I knew who she was. And her OBM found me, once again, her OBM found me in the Virtual Assistant Savvies group. And I was like blown away. I was like, whoa, this is crazy pants that she wants me to be her podcast manager. And so that was a big mindset shift for me. Once again, like I said, I was seeing how valuable are these skills? How valuable is it to be a podcast manager? And landing her and working with her was definitely a confidence booster for me and showed me that there's a lot of people, there's a lot of different people. She's also a business coach. There's a lot of different people that are looking for us. And I launched her podcast in, you know, January, like the 1st of January in 2019. And it was around the same time that my networking friends in the virtual assistant Facebook groups were asking me, hey, how are you landing these clients? Like, I want to work with podcasts. How are you doing this? And my business was clearly booming. I had clients left and right. Everybody was saying yes. I was like, what am I going to do about this? This is crazy. And some true networking friends were asking me, hey, will you teach this? Will you like make something, make a mini course, do something so that we can do this too? And I thought, I had this breakthrough with landing Nicole and realized there are so many clients out there. I'm never going to be able to take them all on. I'm never going to want to take them all on. I wanted a smaller business, not a big. I never wanted an agency. I never wanted a ton of clients. So I realized I don't have any free time. I have zero free time, but I'm going to put together this course so that all these clients have somewhere to go. And also, my networking friends can do this, because I was like, there's absolutely no competition here because I'm booked. I'm absolutely booked out. And there's a plenty of clients for a billion people. So that was a breakthrough moment for me to realize how great of an opportunity this was and that it was something that I wanted to help other people do. So that was fall. Then I landed another client. And at this point, I'd finally gotten smart enough to like keep raising my prices. So I landed this photography client. And she found me in the Gold Diggers Facebook group. And she was a photographer for lots of different people in LA, but also specifically, she was a photographer for like Bachelor contestants, which I was like, oh, this is so random. Of course, these people exist. But she associated herself kind of as a business coach. So it just goes to show that if you have this belief that if I niche down, there's not going to be enough of X, Y, and Z people, well, you will attract a lot of people that you're like, wait, they don't fit in my niche, but you want to work with them and it doesn't matter. So that's why it's like pick something because you'll be surprised at how just picking a niche and marketing that on your proposals and your portfolio and all of that good stuff actually will just bring in clients. It just brings in clients. But this photography client, she did not last long. She did not last long in her podcasting career. She didn't really have a goal. She was very unclear about like why she was doing this because she wasn't like a typical client of mine. She wanted to start this podcast so that you could see the conversation she was having behind the camera, which was a really cool concept, but she didn't really have a clear reason for doing it. So we worked together for a couple of months. She kind of started fading, as people say, pod fade. She just kind of started fading in her motivation to do it. But she was very, very unorganized. And so she was attracted to me because I had this clear organization. You send me this. We have these check marks. Like I loved and I still love the fact that podcast management is such like a machine. Like let's build this machine and then we'll just like produce some great shows. And that was kind of that's what I lead with. And so she really liked that because she was not organized and she did not use any sort of organization system, software, nothing like that. So she really liked that about me. And eventually we kind of faded off and we stopped working together, which is something that you want to think about with podcast clients is that is actually not typical. Podcasters, when they start a podcast, they're like, okay, I'm doing this. And their mindset, most of podcasters' mindsets are number one, they're going to do this for a long, long time. But minimally, they're going to do this for like a year. So when you think about that, and it's not like other things, like in a previous episode, a couple of weeks ago, I interviewed Anna Huff about Pinterest. And she was talking about how with Pinterest, you really need to commit to doing it for 3 or 6 months or longer, and how her clients need to have that mindset when she works with them, that this is important for 3 to 6 months that we stick with this to see results. That's built in mindset with podcast clients. They're not like, oh, well, let's do this for 3 months and see what happens. No, it's a podcast. Part of it, they're doing it because they have a passion for it. And people know, like, you're not going to build something crazy awesome in 3 months. So that's a really cool aspect about podcasting is that these clients that you land, they can be around for a really long time. And if your first couple of clients, you're not doing what you really want with them, or your prices are just so low because they are your first couple clients, that's okay. You can cycle them out and let them know that you're raising your prices. And if they say no, then you move on. But then also they can find, if they want an entry-level podcast manager and they want to keep their prices low, then they can hire someone else that's starting out, or they can stick with you and get a higher level service because you know more. So it works really well in that sense that you can cycle them out for higher paying clients, or they can stick with you. So at this point, it's late 2018 / early, like January of 2019. And let me recap for you. I have 6 clients, plus I'm still producing my own show. I'm still producing Fit Friends Happy Hour with my friend. And I stayed up until like 2 a.m. for like a week and a half, creating videos for the podcast manager jumpstart, which was what my course was called in the very early stages. So I am balancing so many things and I knew there's no way I should be doing all of this. There's no way. I didn't even think I was going to be able to stick with 6 clients long term because I was like, holy cow. I was working, still only working from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. January of 2019, my second daughter had just turned one, and my other daughter would have been almost three. So I was home with them all the time, you know, no childcare. My husband worked full time, like normal hours, that kind of thing. So I was like, I was working with some weekends, which I was fine with because I was providing for my family. I loved what I did, but I knew, okay, something's got to go. So I had to have the really tough conversation with my friend to say, hey, I love Fit Friends Happy Hour, but this business is legit and I have to spend more time on it. Because the thing about Fit Friends Happy Hour was that she would come over every Tuesday night and we would record an episode together, which was so fun because we got to spend time together. And she always came to my house because I had these babies and she's still my best friend, love her to death. But we would get together every Tuesday night. So I would spend all Tuesday night recording and chatting with her. And then I would spend another night a week producing our show, which wasn't bringing in any money for us. So what I was doing was spending 2 days a week on a Fit Friends Happy Hour. And I was like, this just doesn't make sense anymore because I've got these paying clients and I need more time. I need more nights to work on them. So gosh, that was so hard to tell her, hey, you know, I need to stop being the host with you. And her dietitian business was booming. So I was like, you need to do this yourself. This makes sense for you. So that's what she ended up doing is she took the show on her own. And you should go check it out if you are into body positivity and not being on a diet. And she talks about all that cool stuff. So I was then able to focus on these 6 clients and be in my course group that was, you know, slowly growing. So from early May 2018, I landed Sharon, that first VA client that turned into a podcast client. And by January of that next year, I'd landed 5 more clients. And I was making, I want to say like $3,000 to $4,000 a month. And I was reflecting on these clients and looking at, okay, what makes sense? Who are these people make sense for me to stick with? Who can I see have a long-term podcast? Like I knew that 2019 for me was going to be kind of evaluating and seeing who am I going to be with in the long haul. And so also, I've spoken about this in previous episodes, but generally speaking, with podcast management, they'll hire you to do one thing and then your role with them will just keep growing over the months. So I also wanted to leave room for that on the clients that I liked working with the most, that I would have space to grow with them. So that's what my business ended up looking like in 2019 was growing with these clients. And then mid 2019, and I'll have to do like a separate episode about 2019, but mid 2019, I realized, hey, how can I get to these higher prices of like $1,500 and $2,000? And that was the journey that I took in 2019. So I hope this was helpful for you. And I know that I just spit like so many details at you, but I hope you were able to keep track of where I was at. And I hope that this was good for you to see like the different people and the pluses and the minuses and where you could start with your business. Because I want you to keep the end goal in mind. What's your monthly income that you want to make? But also know that there might be some time of getting going, you know, getting up and running. You might say yes to a client that's paying you $275, but hourly, it makes sense. It's an easy relationship. It's very straightforward. Maybe that's the case for you. Also, please don't edit for $275 at the same time. Okay, so before we go, I want to just leave you with one tip that I would have changed about my journey. And that is that I would have consistently raised my prices as I landed more and more clients. So as I landed that client that I said was at $275 for editing, I would have seen, okay, I'm getting on calls and everyone's saying yes, I need to raise my prices. And then I would have said, you landed another client, then I should have raised my prices again. Instead, I got into this mindset of these are my prices. And I stuck with those prices for like 6 months and I was just landing clients left and right. So if that's you, if you're landing a lot of clients, if your call ratio to people saying yes ratio is really high, then it's probably time for you to raise your prices. So that's the takeaway from looking at all of this, you know, and thinking about all of this for you guys. That's definitely something that I would have changed about my journey. But hey, here I am. And the cool thing about it is that even if you find yourself in just like a blah situation, you're like, man, I'm this person, you are in the situation that I was in with my first client. I was getting $30 an episode. You can change it. you can get testimonials from those people and leverage the experience into another client. And then that person, that client who only has $30 to spend, can find somebody else that's like you that needs that first client, that needs the first experience. So it really serves both people for us to move on sometimes. So I hope that that's helpful. And I'd love to hear what you guys think about all of this over on Instagram. So after you listen to this, come let me know what you thought, maybe who you want to work with. And I'd love to chat with you in my DMs or on the Instagram post for this specific episode. Thank you so much for being here. If you're listening to this right when it releases, then don't forget to sign up for my live training that's happening tomorrow on Wednesday, February 24th at noon. There is going to be a replay. So if you can't make it, but you still want to see it, then still register for a seat. And then I will be sending a replay for you within about 24 hours after we do the live class. So I can't wait to chat with you guys there. And I can't wait to chat with you next week on the podcast. So thank you so much for being here. And I'll talk to you then. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton, or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind on Facebook, and let me know what you liked about this episode. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in this show over at laurenwrighton.com. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.